You met any nice boys in the salon?
Oh, pretty nice.
I mean any nice queer boys. Do you...
CITR 101.9 FM and the show for the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transsexual communities, and a band called 10 Seconds Over Tokyo, and a song called I Can't Think Straight. And interestingly enough, I don't know that there's anything gay positive or gay negative about that song. I don't think it has anything to do with being gay, but the title is kind of ironic, and hey, we'll take it. It's Heather here, and actually, guess what? We have a working title for this program now. It came up in a conversation with a friend of mine the other day where I was trying to explain to her the mandate of the program. And I'm sort of saying, you know, the purpose of this program is to kind of make up for the lack of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transsexual content in the mainstream media. And from that came making up for the mainstream. It works for now. If you have a better idea, 822-3017 or 822-2487. Now, last week, I was so happy and announced that we actually had an official intro and theme song. And having said that, I left the official theme song at home this week. So you got the official intro, which is Sloppy Seconds. And I Don't Want to Be Another Homosexual, the intro. And Gloria Gaynor will have to hold out until next week, I'm afraid. It is Heather here, and on the show today, Marie-Louise Francoise. It's a repeat of the interview I did with her about a month ago. She works at Sappho's, which is the lesbian hostel, I suppose, or guest house in San Francisco, and it is a place which you might want to consider visiting if you're traveling to San Francisco this summer. It just sounds like they have a lot of fun. And I know some people who stayed there and said that it was just wonderful. And the other person on the show today is Arlene Badishel. Guess what, folks? It's Hollywood North, and they are filming a lesbian movie in Vancouver. Along the lines, or not necessarily story-wise, but in terms of scale, along the lines of Another Desert Hearts or Claire of the Moon, possibly even bigger. So Arlene Badishel is on the show, and she's going to tell you all about it in just a few seconds. Now, if you'd like to call the show, 822-3017 or 822-2487, you can leave a message. But this is kind of a lie this week, because I'm not actually here right now. I was here a couple hours ago, and you're listening to a recording. Because where I actually am right at this moment, as you are listening to me, is at the CD release party for Veda Hilly's new CD, Path of a Body. It's taking place at the Wise Hall until 11. If you feel like darting over here, that's where I'll be. And so why not play some Veda Hilly? This is from the CD, Path of a Body, which has actually been in stores for about probably close to a month now, and you can get it. They have 7 copies at A&B Sound on Seymour Street. A friend of mine was telling me this. And if you just go up and ask for Mike McNeil and tell him that Heather sent you to buy the new Veda Hilly, I'm sure he'd be delighted to show you where it is. It's a fantastic CD. Everything down to the album artwork is beautiful. And her songs are terrific, too. This is a song called Driven by Veda Hilly on CITR 101.9 FM. Just enough, yes, enough. CITR 101.9 FM. We're making up for the mainstream here, and that is Veda Hilly with Driven. Her new CD, Path of the Body, is officially being released tonight at the Wise Hall till 11 o'clock. So if you feel like doing something after the show, come on down and catch the end of it, because Veda is so exciting to see live. Real quirky, to use a quote from Denise Shepherd, freelance writer extraordinaire. Hey, Denise, why don't you listen to my show one day? It's Heather here. And speaking of people making up for the mainstream, Arlene Badishil is a filmmaker who is working out of Vancouver right now. They are filming a lesbian film, a big-time lesbian film called Devotion. And I got a chance to speak to Arlene last week. I have to apologize for the sound quality on this because we use that other studio that we don't like to use very often when doing interviews. But I asked Arlene, first of all, what the film is going to be all about.
Well, as I said yesterday, for the mainstream press, it's your classic love triangle with a 90s twist. And for the not-so-mainstream press or media, it's a love story between a group of women, and how do I sum it up in one sentence? When it's not for the mainstream media. The story is essentially about an openly gay stand-up comedian who's on her way, up-and-coming rising star on the stand-up comedy circuit, and she's about to get the biggest break of her professional career, and she's involved in a five-year relationship with a woman, and at the point she's about to get the big break in her career, she discovers that she's being offered a TV show, a nighttime TV show, which is going to basically catapult her in her career to being a big star on nighttime TV, and the deal she's being offered comes by way of a Hollywood producer and his wife. And the twist in the story is that the wife of the producer is a woman that the comedian had been in love with some 15 years ago when they were friends. And the straight friend couldn't deal with the intimacy of the relationship, and she basically dumped the comedian and ran off and got married because she couldn't deal with her sexuality at that point. The wife of the producer spends many years trying to deal with her sexuality and finally decides she needs to kind of get some closure on this, so she seeks out the comedian. She and her husband orchestrate this whole TV show deal, which is legitimate, and they offer it to the comedian. And the comedian totally freaks out that this woman has shown up out of nowhere because, how could this happen to her? where did you come from?
It seems to happen to a lot of people.
Uh-huh. And depending on where you are at whatever point in your life, you know, people sometimes show up out of nowhere because they need to have closure and you need to have closure, but it couldn't come at a worse time. It's like, gee, couldn't you have called me a few weeks ago? I just got in this new relationship. Yeah, but essentially it's just... the essence of the story is the fantasy that people have about what if things had turned out different with someone that they had been in love with, and it's not too often that you get that second chance, and what happens when that chance happens. And in this story, the comedian is able to realize a dream that she had for years and years and years, and ultimately has to make a decision about whether or not she's going to pursue the woman from her past and essentially jeopardize her professional and personal life.
Now, is this the first lesbian film that you guys have made, or have you been doing this for a while?
We've done other things, but in terms of the film, this is the first film with lesbian content in it.
And what do you think of some of the other lesbian films that are out? Like, what's your assessment of Desert Hearts, for example?
I think what I would have to say is that any films that are out there, I think, are really important. Each one of the lesbian films that have come out, you have the positive feedback and you have the negative feedback. And from my perspective as someone who's involved in making a film in the same genre, the fact that these films are even out there are worth celebrating, because anyone who's ever tried to make a film knows it's really hard to do that. And so if people have been successful in getting their films out there, more power to them, because it's just probably one of the most difficult things to do.
Is there anything that you want to do differently from, say, Desert Hearts or Claire of the Moon or anything like that?
Well, I don't know that it's so much different. I think what we're trying to do here is take those stories one step further. And in our story, we, as one of the sub-themes, we've got one of the characters who is really coming to terms with her sexuality. She is coming out, but she is not the main character in the story. And the main character in the story has a life. She's openly gay. She has a relationship. It's kind of like, what happens to these people after they come out? What goes on in their lives? What happens in their relationships? What kind of pressures do they face? What kind of stress do they experience in their relationships? Not necessarily as a result of being gay, but just that, you know, what happens to people in their relationships and how do they deal with it? So I think what we've tried to do in this particular story is to go one step further and have a bird's eye view of what goes on in one couple's life. You know, after those first few months of courtship and you get together and all the stuff, you know, wears off after the first year and you settle into a really comfortable way of life with a person. You know, and people do kooky little things with each other in their relationships after 5 years. So there's a real familiarity between the main character and her lover, so that, you know, there's not a lot of that overt sexuality in the film. It's more of the playfulness and the you know, the horsing around type of stuff that people do with each other after they've settled in, they find a comfort level and so forth. So where we get more of the overt sexuality in this picture is the main character starts to dabble with this fantasy that's kind of come true for her, that this woman has reappeared, and at one point she starts pursuing the woman, and they get into a little messing around here and there, but the comedian realizes that she probably shouldn't be doing that because she's really jeopardizing everything she's got going for her at that point. But that's where we see that anything even remotely sexual in the film. There are no overt sex scenes or anything like that, but I think that what we are presenting is it's the emotional aspects to people being together physically. And that's more of what we were looking to do with this kind of film, is to really show all of the different elements beyond what it means to someone who's gay, who's coming out, and the kind of emotions that are associated with that. I think there's a lot of pain associated with a person who is gay falling in love with someone who's straight. And it's, you know, the classic pain that goes along with wanting someone and not being able to have them. And you couldn't have a worst case scenario than to have someone who's gay falling in love with someone who's straight, or vice versa, because it does happen, but generally those two people don't get together.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have in this story is the woman from the past. She probably was gay way back when, but couldn't deal with it, and in the present has really just had to come to terms with who she is and make decisions about how she's going to live the rest of her life.
So, is there anything else you'd like to add, sort of about any other messages involved in the film or anything like that?
Well, I think as we were talking yesterday, I think a really important theme in the film is the whole notion of family, and I think in our culture today, we have a real hard time defining what family means, and you have issues in the legislatures that, you know, how are we trying to define family here, and families can only be made up of this configuration. And I think what I would hope people would get out of this is a real strong sense of family among the main character and her lover, and also the business manager who is friends with both of them, and having this pregnant straight woman as the voice of reason in the film, and she's just indignant about the fact that her two friends have to stay together, and there you can't be out messing around. She's like really driving home the point that relationships are important, and that yes, you have difficulties, but it's really important to try and work that stuff out. And you know, the business manager really is seeing her family fall apart when the comedian starts pursuing this fantasy, and she really It's very frightening to her, this prospect of her family being torn apart. And I think anyone, you know, both children and parent alike, when they start seeing their families falling apart, it's just a really painful experience. So the notion of family, I would hope, is conveyed really strongly, because this, you know, it's like the whole notion of the family of friends. Everyone defines their family differently. Just, you know, we recognize it more rigidly in our culture. So I think that that would be one thing that I would really hope comes across from here, that we all have different ways of defining our families and who we truly believe our families are.
Now, from a technical standpoint on your film, mm-hmm. you need some extras.
Yes. Many extras.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've got, as I told you, the main character in the story is a stand-up comedian, and we've got about 4 days that we're shooting at a comedy club, a local comedy club, where we have to fill the place with people who would be going to see this comedian as audience members, so we need extras for that. And we have 2 days that we're shooting at a local gay bar called Celebrities, where we need to pack that place, because early in the film we see the comedian, she's just been offered this TV show, and she doesn't know any of this other background stuff about who's involved, but she and her friends, they're all out partying, they've all gone out to go out and celebrate, and they go up to Celebrities and they're out dancing and horsing around and doing, you know, what a group of friends does. And the comedian does not realize she's up on the second floor of the bar, and everybody's looking out on the dance floor from the second floor except for her and her girlfriend and her business manager, who are all talking. And the woman from the past shows up at the bar, only she's on the main level and the comedian's immediately above her, and neither of them see each other. So they're so close to seeing each other really early on in the film, and they don't see each other. So that's what's going on at Celebrities. So we need to fill that place up. Actually, we're looking for about 300 people to be extras at Celebrities, and 100, 150 coming into the comedy club.
Okay, and that can be men or women?
Yes, definitely. We're suggesting that Celebrities is primarily a women's club, but we're going to have a fair number of men there, and some straight couples as well. We've got the business manager of the main character of the comedian, the actress is pregnant right now, so she's who we wanted to use. So we've written her into the story as the comedian's best friend and business manager is pregnant. And she's hanging out at the club with them. So there's going to be, you know, it's really going to be a mixed club, but it's primarily women.
Right on.
So it's kind of a place where you just go and hang out with your friends, no matter who they are.
Mm-hmm. Sort of the way Celebrities is in
real
life, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to be an extra in the film, who should we call?
You can call Kelly Don, D-O-N.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see if I can get a contact list here. After or as of April 26th, the extras can call 730-9490.
Great.
And she'll have all the specific information, like what people need to wear. They'll probably need a couple of changes of clothing, because we're suggesting that this group of women have been at this club probably 3 separate evenings throughout the film, so obviously they need to wear a change of clothing or bring a change of clothing, and we'll feed them.
Yay!
I don't know what we're going to feed them yet, but...
free food! All right, we're there!
Bring them on in, and we'll try not to see you on the cutting room floor.
Right on. So do you know when it's going to be finished, and do you have any idea if and when it's going to be released?
We would anticipate, we're done shooting right around the 1st of June, and it'll take about 9 weeks for post-production, so we're going to be editing the film for about 6 weeks, and then we need 3 weeks to finish up all of the audio post-production, and there's going to be a book released. The book version of Devotion is going to be released prior to the movie, so we don't have a definite release date on the book. It's going to coincide with the release of the film, but as soon as we have the picture finished, I'm off and running selling the film. So I don't anticipate it would be released before the end of the year, because once you hit around October, you're starting to run into problems with holiday traffic in the movie theaters, so you've got a lot of really big budget pictures coming out of Hollywood that are just taking up all of the movie screens. So my guess is if we can get into the theaters sometime right after the first of the year, that would be terrific. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping we're in sometime in January, but ultimately, because this is a love story, I'd love to see it open nationwide on Valentine's Day.
Hey, all right.
The true romantic.
So are you going for the mainstream theaters?
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Yeah, I think that, you know, even though we've got the main character is a lesbian, it really is almost incidental, the fact that characters in this story are gay, because it's very much a universal story about people falling in love with people who don't love them back. And I know a lot of people who can relate to that, both straight and gay, so I think that's more of why we're looking at the mainstream the mainstream audience. Obviously, this is going into the gay and lesbian market, and I would just hope that a story like this can find a bigger audience, because, you know, it's one way to inform people of things that maybe they don't know about.
CITR 101.9 FM, making up for the mainstream here, it's Heather, and Kenetan Oski. I believe that's how it's pronounced. It's a compilation of Native contemporary music, and that song is called El Amor, and I'm still trying to figure out where you buy this, but in the meantime, if you keep listening to this show, I will continue to play cuts from it. Also, in there, Come Alive from Shin, in my continuing... not so much efforts, because I'm really enjoying this, my continuing trip of playing music which is inspired by other cultures, because I just think that this is great stuff. It's Bhangra music from a compilation called The Bhangra Dimension, released through BMG. It's a couple of years old now, but I imagine you can still find it in stores if you look real hard. And it's just real fun, happy, up-tempo music, sort of like it's got that reggae sort of flavor as well, or, you know, same idea. You understand what I'm getting at. It's Heather here, 822-3017 or 822-2487. You can call the show and leave a message for me today, because I'm not really here. I'm at Veda Hilly's CD release party. And again, you can come down and join us. It's on until 11 at the Wise Hall, which is, I believe, on Adnack. It's in that general area anyway. So if you live in the drive area, you're especially laughing. And, you know, one thing that's really exciting is that for the first time in a long time, I actually know what's coming up on shows in the future. I'm not usually that together, but just did an interview today, as a matter of fact, with Barbara Greer, who is the lady who runs the Naiad Press, based out of Tallahassee. She is the publisher of such fine authors as Pat Califia, Catherine Forrest, and just about anybody who has become a hero to the lesbian community, I suppose. She'll be on talking about Stonewall. The Stonewall Festival is coming up. She was publishing throughout Stonewall. She has a first-hand view of gay and lesbian history, and it's neat to talk to her about. Another thing that's coming up is, now I'm not quite sure how I'm going to do this yet, because copyright may prevent me from playing this entire debate, but about a year ago, almost a year ago to the day, Christchurch Cathedral ran a debate on Christian sexual ethics, which was just a pleasant name for a debate on whether or not the church should treat homosexuals as equal members of the family of God. And the debate took place between John Stott, Reverend John Stott of, I believe it's also the Anglican Church in England. He is not opposed to homosexuals, but opposed to the practice of homosexuality among Christians. And his opponent was John Spong, Bishop John Spong from New Jersey, who you may have heard of. He's the author of Rescuing the Bible from Fundamentalism. And he has 16 gay priests, openly gay priests, working for him. And he is just one of the most outspoken advocates for the recognition of gays and lesbians as full and equal Christians, members of the church. And he's also an outspoken advocate of women's rights and just very, very... very gay positive. It's a half-hour interview, or not really an interview, it's a half-hour debate, which I have a videotape of, which I'm hoping to make an audio tape of, and therefore let you hear it. I'm just going to have to check up on the legalities of that. Otherwise, I will have clips for you, and I'm also hoping to have Tim Stevens he's an openly gay minister in Burnaby, to come on the show and talk on that same program. So, exciting stuff. Mm-hmm. And getting back to some music here, this is a song that I haven't played for a long time on this show, but it's real pretty, and I don't know anything about it other than the fact that it's on a compilation called Across This Grey Land, Volume 3. It's distributed by Cargo Records in Canada. The band is called A Girl Called Harmony, and the song is called Attrition. And here it is on CITR 101.9 FM. CITR 101.9 FM. It's making up for the mainstream. And Across This Grey Land, Volume 3 is the name of the compilation. The name of the band is A Girl Called Harmony. And the name of the song is Attrition. And it's available through Cargo Records, who do have a Vancouver office if you want to call them up. I'm not sure where you can buy it. But it's just... that particular song stands out. I don't even know that I've actually listened to the rest of this compilation, but it's pretty. It's Heather here, 822-3017 or 822-2487. That's where you can call this radio program if you'd like to. Normally, you can get a hold of me at that number. You can leave a message for me tonight or anytime. And if you have stuff that you would like me to mention on this show, you can either call and leave a message with your name or number, or you can write to this show, care of the Student Union Building. Well, first of all, care of CITR, Student Union Building, University of British Columbia, Vancouver, BC, and no, I don't know the postal code offhand, but hey, if a male person does not know how to find UBC, we have a problem. Now, what I'm about to do here is rerun an interview I did with Marie-Louise Francoise, who is one of the employees at, I don't know if she's an employee, she's sort of a resident helper at Sappho's, which is a gay, not really a gay and lesbian, a lesbian hostel or guest house in San Francisco. It's supposed to be a lot of fun, and by the sounds of things, Marie-Louise is an awful lot of fun. She was a lot of fun to talk to. And the first thing that I asked her was just to tell me a bit about the history of Sappho's.
Well, there was a bunch of women who were living in this really beautiful house in an area of San Francisco called Alamo Square. It's a very old area, and this particular house is one of those 7 bedrooms, incredibly ornate. It has little busts of women and ornate carvings in all the corners and the halls and the, like, 15-foot ceilings. It's just one of these houses that I can keep picturing Miss Kitty answering the door, you know, and the men come swaggering in. You know, it's just one of those places, you know. It's like it really dates back. Mm-hmm. And they call it one of the Painted Ladies, you know, one of the Victorians here in San Francisco. And a bunch of women, as far as I remember, were squatting the house. A bunch of women were living here. I mean, a bunch, and traveling women and all, you know. There was like 4 German women living here with their dogs and all these American women. And a friend of mine, Baja, who's this woman from Montreal, was looking for a place to live and to squat. And she always squats, you know. She thinks Americans are so silly, you know. You pay rent. Oh, my God, you know. So she heard about this house, and she said, oh, I've got to get into that house, you know. So sure enough, she met some of the women who live here, and she got in, and they were just having a wonderful old time. And at that time, like I said, most of these women were traveling women, and I had a flat down in the Mission in a district where a lot of the lesbians live, kind of a dyke area. And I have a 4-bedroom flat there, and it was full of traveling women. You know, I always had an open-door policy for traveling women, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we sat around and realized that we desperately need to have a hostel. I mean, here in San Francisco, we don't have a low-cost, affordable hostel for women, you know. So we thought, that's pretty bizarre, so why don't we do it? So these women negotiated a lease with the landlady. She wasn't really happy about it because at that point these were the same women who were squatting, you know. But Baja was brilliant, and she's a slightly older dyke, so she was able to, you know, just nail this woman, and she got a lease out of her. And from there we just worked, all of us just worked our butts off to make it happen. And literally, I was just sitting here the other day realizing that we've created something out of nothing. We had no funds. I was working with a collective of women who were producing shows to try to raise money so we could have our own Dyke space here in the city. Now this collective has accomplished that. We do have a place of our own called the Whiptail Lizard Lounge. But also, you know, I just took all of the networking I had done for the Whiptail Collective and passed it on to Sappho's, and we started doing fundraisers in here, and we had, you know, benefit parties and barbecues and, you know, just all kinds of things. And we had a big Halloween party that year, and it was a total success.
So
Sappho's was a success from the beginning. It was really unbelievable, you know, and the women who were actually living here moved out one by one as we needed their rooms for the hostel, you know. And we've had donations. Every bit of furniture in here, and we're a bit over-furnished, is donations, you know. We finally got our not-for-profit status through San Francisco Now, and so, you know, we're the kind of organization you can make, donations to, financial donations, and write it off on your income tax. So we've had some, some really good sponsors and a lot of brilliant support.
So it's a seven-bedroom hostel?
Yeah. Right now we're using six bedrooms, and the seventh bedroom is our office.
And do you find you're keeping them full most of the time, or
our peak season just started this month. The middle of this month, we were hit with, you know, every single bed and then some. We had to do some real fancy footwork to create yet more beds, you know. And it's like I was making beds, and I realized we've got a double thumb under this futon. There's another bed, you know. And we actually have couches. We got lots of couches. Every room's got a couple of couches, actually. And so we have bed rates and couch rates. It's really funny. So, you know, as women spend their money, as traveling women spend their money and their finances become depleted, they move from the bed to the couch, you know. It's really funny. But, so right now we have every bed in the house full.
So what do you figure the best time of the year is to travel to San Francisco?
Oh, that's a hard one. This is really 12 months out of the year. It's brilliant, you know, because even when it rains here, it's brilliant, you know. It's we don't get that much rain, so it's not ever anything you can count on. And the only times that it will rain, if it's going to rain at all, always once in September. We always have one storm in the middle of September. Outside of that, January, February, March, you know, we're going to have a little bit of rain now and again, but certainly not much with global warming, unfortunately. But and outside of that, the weather is almost the same all year long. It really is. It's just wonderful. It's always leather weather, so bring your leathers. You know, that's why this is such a leather town, you know. Bring a scarf. You're always going to want a scarf around your neck, you know. We are almost completely surrounded by water.
I was just going to ask you, what color?
What color? That's entirely
up to y'all. I was
going to
say, are you still doing that down there?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. You know, I don't look at the color of my scarf hanging out of my back pocket anymore. And I don't really notice which pocket I've been putting it in anymore. But, you know, I just got other interests. But that was clearly one of the motivating reasons for my coming to San Francisco 5 years ago. Yeah.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to time your vacation around a special gay event, when are they?
Well, that's kind of what happened this past week. I would say from the middle of March to the middle of September, because we start with, you know, the local activities start to gear up with the local leather contest for Miss San Francisco Leather and Mr. San Francisco Leather. And then in September, we have the, you know, official Leather Week, and it's really a gas because as you're walking up and down the Castro and some areas south of Market Street, which was a traditional leather area of the city, you'll see signs in the windows, 10% discount if you're wearing leather. It's really funny. And that was the week we arrived here, you know, was Leather Week. I was like, God, these people are so friendly, you know. So September we have the international, you know, competitions for leather. And so the city clearly is just totally pulsing with, you know, really hot, you know, men and women from all over the world. And then in the summer, we have one festival after another. This is really a lot like Europe in that we have a tremendous amount of street festivals. You know, we have the Folsom Street Fair, and that's all gay, and they, you know, like block a half mile, maybe more, of Folsom Street, which was the, like I said, the original leather area of the city, the original gay area of the city, which was south of Market, and at that time, very seedy. But very fun. And now, of course, we have the Castro. And so 1 week later, we have the Castro Street Fair, and that's brilliant. And, of course, Gay Pride is out of this world with how many hundreds of, you know, dykes on bikes leading off the parade. the streets vibrate, the walls vibrate. I mean, it feels like the world's biggest, you know, either orgasm or earthquake, depending on, you know, are you the positive type or the negative type? You know, and it's like to see all these women taking off on their motorcycles is unbelievable. And they lead off the parade, and it's really brilliant. So, I don't know, it's really a good time no matter when. Summertime, Golden Gate Park has got all kinds of free concerts happening. It's really great. Santana almost always appears every summer just to put on free shows, you know. It's just great. It's like old-fashioned San Francisco with, you know, our new look, you know. And we've got a lot of punk kids and a lot of traveling kids. And they add a lot of color to the city, I think. They're really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what are some of the really good bars and restaurants to take in?
Well, okay, for Dykes, they absolutely cannot miss the one. It's become very quickly, almost overnight, the number one cafe in the city, and that's the Bearded Lady. And again, it was like the Whiptail Collective seemed to be the spurring grounds for lesbian overachievers, you know. And two of the women from that particular collective left the collective and opened this cafe, and it's just fantastic. They have, of course, the walls are covered with art, so there's an ongoing art show happening, and so you're bound to hit, no matter when you get to the city, if you go to the Red Doras, that's the same place, the Red Doras Bearded Lady Cafe, you'll find all kinds of lists of activities. First of all, that's the number one networking place for Dykes, so go there. Start there, eat your breakfast there. You know, you're bound to fall down flat after you see some of the girls who are serving you coffee. It's like, oh, my God, I only dreamt, you know. And, you know, so then you network, you get all of your information, and of course, ask tons of questions. And, you know, it's like there's always some kind of performance going on there, maybe 2-3 times a week. Plus, like I said, the art show. And they'll point you in all the right directions in terms of everything else that's happening in the city that's important to Dykes. The Castro, just walk up and down the Castro, you know. You'll find what you want by who's sitting where, you know. It's like we have a couple of other really fun cafes up that way. Traditionally, it's the kind of the place to see, you know, who's there and to be seen. You know, if you've got new clothes and want to show off, that's the place to go. We have a place called The Cafe, which is actually a bar, and it's on the second floor, and it's so from the balcony, you can just sit outside and drink and look at all of the Castro, and it's really wonderful. And they're now advertising. It used to be a mixed men and women's place. And I was just, you know, looking through the gay paper and looked at their ad. It's all completely new. And, you know, they have a whole new image. And they're saying that there are women's bars 7 days a week. So that's news to me. So I'm passing that on. But it used to be called the Cafe San Marcos. And it was there for a long time. Now they've just dropped the San Marcos, and it's called The Cafe.
Great.
Yeah, it's really cool. And wonderful $2 and great pool tables. Yeah,
super.
That's the place with the pool tables. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So now, whereabouts is Sappho's located?
Okay, we're actually we're really conveniently located on one of the major bus lines, the bus 22, but we're only like 5 blocks, maybe less, maybe 4 blocks from the Haight-Ashbury area. Actually, lower Haight. Haight-Ashbury is upper Haight. So it makes it really convenient. We're only a few blocks away from Market Street, which is one of the... Market Street is like the dividing line of the city of San Francisco. It's, everything is either north, south of Market, or you know, on the other side. It's like, and we're the other side. But and we're only a few blocks away from the Castro because of Market. You know, it's like you would walk to the right when you get to Market Street, and 3 blocks later in the Castro area, walk to the left after you get to Market, and you're in the downtown. You know, in the downtown Civic Center area. So it's really convenient. And then, of course, the Haight Street's right here, you know.
And what is the bed rate and the couch rate?
Okay, so the bed rate is $15 a night. Let me see. We have, and you can stay as long, you know, you can stay. I mean, there are women here who stay monthly or more. Let's see, so bed rate a night for a single, for one person is $15. For two, it's, of course, $30. We have rooms that are doubles. For couples, you know, it's a double bed, and then all the other beds are singles, and we're planning to put in bunk beds. Actually, we've been planning this from day one, but we're actually in the process of fundraising for the bunk beds because we need to be able to utilize the rooms better. They're big rooms, and we can take in more women. We're turning away women at this point. So if you're coming as a single or you're coming with friends and you're not lovers and you don't need to sleep together, you could be sharing your room with as many as up to 5 women. So some of the rooms are really big. So let's see, and it goes up to the monthly rate of Was it? Yeah, it's 4:50 in the summer, peak season, and it's 3:50 in the winter, the monthly rate.
Mm-hmm. And what's the couch rate?
Well, the couch rate is $10 a night.
Oh, right on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now at this stage in the game, how far in advance do you need to call for reservations?
Well, I would say whenever you're sure that you're coming, call us. You know, I would say absolutely. And the ideal is that you would call us and send us your deposit, which is half of the total amount of your stay. And that we should receive it at least, at the very least, 10 days before your check-in day. We have so many walk-ins, it's almost unbelievable. I mean, really, truly unbelievable. And last week, because we were 9 women overbooked and 2 couples, you know, so it was like, oh, my goodness, you know, this is really going to be fun. And then we had walk-ins on top of that. So it was like the women we didn't have the deposits, even though they were reserved. Without the deposit, we can't be sure. And without, you know, and our feeling, too, is that if you haven't sent us a deposit, you're probably not sure, you know. And we just can't let women not have a place to stay. So we did find rooms for everyone, but frankly, there's just no place in town that's quite as cheap as us. There's a youth hostel that's a little bit cheaper than us. Oh, and our rate also includes a really nice continental breakfast. You know, we have a huge kitchen that we have make completely available to the visiting women, to our guests. And we offer breads and pastries and bagels and, you know, butter and peanut butter and jelly and coffee and teas and creams and sugars and everything that you would need, you know, to get your day started. And we have enough bathrooms and showers and toilets to accommodate all these women. So that's the other nice thing, you know. You don't have to do it in the woods.
Perfect. So what's the number to call?
Okay, so do give us a call as soon as you know you're coming. And we're area code 415-775-3243.
CITR 101.9 FM, making up to the mainstream. Actually, that song was kind of a mainstream hit. It's Chronology by Jean-Michel Jarre, Volume 4, which was indeed the part they were playing on mainstream radio. But, hey, it's a great sort of up-tempo, fun, dancey song, and, well, hey, I'm only too happy to play it on this show. It's Heather here, 822-3017 or 822-2487. That's where you can call this program and, in this case, leave a message for it. And that's about all the time we have for you today, folks. So, we'll be back next week, and Barbara Greer will be on the show either next week or the week after. It'll be closer to Stonewall, because that's what we'll be talking about. And yeah, coming up, Christian sexual ethics. In other words, should gays and lesbians be considered Christians or not? Do we care? Do some of us care? Some people do care. And for others, it is an interesting discussion, nevertheless. So meanwhile, I want to leave with another track from Veda Hilly, whose CD Path of a Body is being officially released tonight. However, it's in stores now, so do go and pick it up. And A&B Sound on Seymour Street has some copies of it. And this is, if for no other reason, this is the song that you will want to own. It's beautiful. It's called Precious Heart. And here it is on CITR 101.9 FM.